Spider Honey by Impertinence, read by Petica. Summary: Pete is not the most observant person in the world. It's just, Pete always kind of thought he'd know when he was married. Mikey sure as hell did. "I got married," he said, voice cracking with glee. "Congratulations," Pete said politely. "Janae emailed me just to say I need to come pick up all of Hemi's old chew toys, or she's going to sell them on eBay." A few seconds of silence. "That sucks, man," Mikey said, finally. "But you've got Ashley, right?" Ashley was nice, and hot, and smart, and Pete had had a thing for her for a while, but he wasn't lying to the tabloids when he told them she wasn't his love story. "I guess," he said. "Sort of, in a way." "You should have someone," Mikey said. "I'm working on it." The soft whoosh crackle of Mikey sighing into the phone. It was kind of like old times, minus the promise of blowjobs later on, and plus the threat of Alicia slicing his balls off. "You always are," Mikey said, sounding just about as exasperated as a person could. "Kiss a few frogs, right?" Pete said. And because Mikey was nice, he didn't say what they were both thinking. Pete built his life around fairy tales not being true. So, yeah, Mikey was married, and it was all he talked about. "Mikey's married," Pete told Patrick that morning, over the breakfast Patrick had threatened and blackmailed him into. "It's all he talks about." Patrick paused in his chewing to say, "Es I urid uck." "Newlyweds do suck," Pete agreed. "But Mikey's not a newlywed. He's Mikey." Patrick gave Pete a long look that Pete chose to interpret as, "You are exceptionally beautiful early in the morning," instead of what he thought it probably was, which was, "Duh, you moron." "Okay," Pete said. "He's a newlywed. Sort of." Patrick shook his head and went back to eating his eggs. Pete had a photo album. He'd started scrapbooking after the whole dick incident, because according to his therapist, he needed to heal his soul. Also, pictures glued down to sheets of sparkly paper. Decorating tips had been obtained from various members of Panic at the Disco and followed with various levels of diligence. Were less likely to be leaked onto the internet. "I can't believe you have a photo album," Joe said, snickering and leafing through the pages. "Whatever," Pete said. "You're the one looking at it." "Oh, hey, it's you and Patrick. Again." Joe was on the fifth page of the Patrick section, which was 25 pages long, almost two-thirds of the book. He had a lot of pictures of Patrick, or Patrick and Pete, or Patrick and computer. Most of them included Pete being a dork. All of them included Patrick being cute. "That's an old one," Pete said fondly. In the picture, he was giving Patrick a wet willy. Good times. "Yeah," Joe said. "Man, you two sucked back then. You never stopped talking about him." "He was my discovery," Pete said. "Like Jupiternium." "Jupiternium isn't an element," Joe said. Pete beamed. "Exactly." "Move your feet," Patrick said, and sat on them anyway. "Hey," Pete said, poking Patrick's butt with his toes. "You suck." "You wish." Patrick nodded to the TV, where Pete was making Mario hump Yoshi to the rhythm of the music. "Two player?" "Sure," Pete said, and tossed him a controller. "Put Mario Kart in. We can race." "Awesome," Patrick said, and shifted off of Pete's feet. Pete lifted them, draping his legs over Patrick's lap when he settled again. 2 hours later, when the score was 15-12 and they were thumb wrestling for the victory. "You cheated," Patrick said. "Your mom," was Pete's only retort. Andy came in. He saw them sitting together and snorted. "What?" Pete said. "Nothing," Andy said, and sat down on the spot Pete had vacated in favor of Patrick's lap. "Nothing at all." "Seriously," Ashley said when she dumped him. "I made a whole CD about how I don't like living in someone else's shadow." No matter how many hours he stayed awake thinking about it, Pete couldn't figure it out. "It's not you," Patrick said. "It's me." Pete hugged Hemi and glared balefully. "You're dumping us," he said. "You're going to give Hemi even bigger abandonment issues. How cold-hearted can you get?" Patrick sighed. "We've talked about this," he said, too gently. "Joe's apartment is closer to Janice's house. I really like her, okay? She could be important." And Pete respected Patrick's happiness, and his friendship, and his ability to lead his own life. He did. "But you won't be here," he whined. "That's kind of the point. Being closer to Janice," Patrick added, practically puking the words out. Pete didn't blame him. Joe had trained his monkey up to be kind of scary. Moving into that house would take balls of steel. "Fine," he said. "Fine. Whatever." "We'll still be best friends," Patrick said, hugging Pete lightly. "But not roomies," Pete said sadly. Patrick didn't answer. "It's cold," Pete said. "It's cold, and I miss him." "I thought he'd had his own room," Mikey said, sounding less puzzled than someone who didn't know Pete would. "He did, but usually I crawled into bed with him," Pete said. "His room doesn't make any sense without him. The bed doesn't even sag right. Why are you sighing?" "I'm not," Mikey said, and the sighing stopped. "Oh, okay. The worst part is the coffee, though. I can't make it like he did. Every time I try to pour it, the sound echoes off the walls. It's like all my furniture's missing." "What's that?" Pete said, straining to make out the muffled thumping noise on the other end. "Nothing," Mikey said. "Feel free to ask me about my wedded bliss." "How's Alicia?" Pete said dutifully. "Awesome," Mikey said. "I fall asleep next to her every night, and in the morning she makes me coffee, and we play footsies under the table. When she's out of town, I almost always wind up sleeping in one of her hoodies, because the bed feels lonely without her. Our room is as weird as a surrealist painting without her in it. I'm completely married and in love." Pete digested this. It sounded kind of like Mikey was trying to tell him something. Which... "Hey!" he said, epiphany descending upon him. "I get it!" "Finally?" Mikey sounded wary. His lack of faith, Pete thought, was seriously disheartening. "Of course I do," Pete said. "Hey, I'll talk to you later, okay? I'm going to drive down to Joe's and steal one of Patrick's hoodies." This time, the thump was right into the phone. Pete frowned as he hung up, making a mental note to check with Gabe and make sure all was well. Alicia didn't seem like the abusive type, but hey, you never knew. Halfway to Joe's, he screeched to a halt. The light was red. Also, Pete just had an epiphany. For real this time. "Hey," he texted Mikey. "What now, loser?" I think I'm kind of in love with Patrick, the forever kind. Finally! Haha, Gerard's going to be pissed. I won that bet. Pete grinned and stepped on the gas. Hey, Joe, I think we're at a Fruit Loop. Pete looked up and smiled. He'd seen Patrick just yesterday, but he was pretty sure Patrick hadn't been glowing like an angel then. Hi. Patrick flushed, deep, dark red. Pete watched with interest. Why are you sitting on my box of records reading Kerouac? Patrick said finally. Hey, why are you sitting on my box of records at all? Those are valuable. I can't believe you'd... I love you, Pete said. And I think we're kind of married, which means you're estranged right now. You should come back. Patrick froze. It isn't nice, he said finally, voice quiet and level, to tell shitty jokes like that. Pete shook his head. I'm not joking. You're married to me. We're totally in love. Patrick crossed his arms. You're delusional, he said, glaring. And a dick. He probably should have expected this. Pete sighed. Patrick, he said, closing his book and getting up. Patrick, Patrick, Patrick. Congratulations. You remember my name. Patrick's hands were clenched into fists. Pete closed his fingers over them, tugging until Patrick dropped his arms, then moving them back, pinning Patrick's hands behind his back. I remember a lot of things, Pete said quietly, watching Patrick's face, careful for a reaction. So far, so good. I kind of miss making you pancakes. Stop, Patrick said weakly, but he wasn't struggling. Marriage means you're really in love, Pete. You can't just joke like that. You broke up with Janice. No, you totally did, Pete said when Patrick opened his mouth to protest. Or you're going to, whatever. Patrick looked away. I was never dating her, he said, sounding like Pete had dragged the confession out of him. Pete managed to contain his glee. Sort of. Good, he said. I don't like helping people cheat. And he leaned in to kiss Patrick. Patrick jerked away at the last possible second. Pete, he said, eyes wild. Don't, please, don't make me think. I love you, Pete said again. Patrick, I love you. I want to fuck you, and I want to wake up next to you. And I want to get old and take Viagra together and have cane battles. And I want you to come home. For a horrible, panic-inducing second, Patrick just stared. Then he smiled, laughed a little. Oh, he said. Okay, then. And he tugged his hands free, bringing them up to frame Pete's face and kissing him firmly. Pete smiled into the kiss and wrapped his arms around Patrick, hands tangling in his hair. Married, he said, satisfied when Patrick finally pulled back. Married, Patrick said, and yanked Pete's pants down. 2 weeks later. Me and Patrick are in love, Pete announced from a spot on Patrick's lap. Cool, Joe said. Past the Doritos? Please don't get a commitment ceremony, Andy added, handing Joe the bag of extreme cheese Doritos. Those are lame and reinforce a dying heterocentric society. No, Pete said. No, I mean, we're really in love. Like, he kissed Patrick, messy and with a lot of tongue. We get it, Andy said. Please don't fuck in front of us. Patrick blinked. He'd always thought it would be a bigger deal than this. Congratulations, Joe added around a mouthful of Doritos. Pete beamed. Hi, Mikey said pleasantly, and Patrick screamed. Mikey frowned. Did I disturb you? It's 3 a.m. You're on your computer, though, Mikey said, and shut Patrick's bedroom door. You're in my bedroom, Patrick said. His voice was a little too high-pitched, and he knew it. But seriously, seriously, he'd always thought those rumors about the Ways being vampires were just rumors. Pete was going to get back from L.A. and find Patrick's dead, bloodless body in their bed. You're in my bedroom at 3 a.m. Yeah, Mikey said calmly. Also, you're wearing Batman boxers. It's okay, he added, as Patrick went to pull up the covers. Gerard has a pair just like that. More raggedy, though. Patrick couldn't stop staring. Is there a reason why you're in my bedroom at 3 a.m.? He said finally, feeling more than a little helpless. Mikey sat down on the edge of the bed. I heard you and Pete were officially dating, he said. Well, actually, Pete texted me about it. 32 times. The blush spread over Patrick's cheeks before he even had time to think about not blushing. That's, he said. Nice, I guess. Yeah, I'm happy for him, Mikey smiled, shifting the shadows thrown over his face by the light from the desk lamp. Patrick blinked, remembering Pete and 3 summers ago, and thought, oh, that's why. He's out of his mind with joy. I've never seen him like this before. Patrick couldn't help but return the smile, a little shakily. Which is why, Mikey said lightly, lips still upturned playfully. I'll kill you if you hurt him. Patrick did a double take. What? Mikey just cocked an eyebrow. I got into your bedroom without you noticing. I promise you, I can kill you. Gerard will help me hide the body. You, Patrick said, sputtering. And I've heard you're kind of a bitch when you're mad, Mikey said thoughtfully. But with the element of surprise on my side, I don't think it matters. You made him cry, Patrick finally said. He wrote song after song about you. He didn't talk to anyone for 3 solid days after Warped ended. But he's fine now, Mikey shot back. And whole enough to fall in love with you, right? Patrick couldn't answer. Exactly, Mikey said. His fingers wound through Patrick's sheets, tenser by far than the rest of Mikey's body. Think of how much worse it'll be if you break his heart. The thought had crossed his mind, once or twice or 10 times. Patrick shuddered. I won't, he said. I can't. Good. Mikey let go of the sheets, fingers going lax. This time, his smile was rueful. I'm bad at murder anyway. Or at least I think I'd be. And I like you. I don't want to have to kill you. Patrick shook his head. You're ridiculous, he said. Your whole band is ridiculous. What does Gerard know about hiding bodies anyway? I've never asked, Mikey said, and laughed. It was a weird sound, bubbly and higher pitched than Patrick would have guessed. Seriously, though, I'm happy for you, both of you. And I think he's always looking for happily ever after. But I think he might get it this time. And that was, yeah, kind of bigger than Patrick had let himself imagine. I hope so, he said, quietly enough that Mikey leaned forward a bit. I want it. With him, I mean. Mikey smiled. Then you'll probably get it, he said, and reached out, shutting Patrick's laptop gently. Now go to sleep. I know for a fact you're not the insomniac of the relationship. I am when he's out of town. It's hard to sleep alone when you're used to someone passed out naked on top of you. And, wow, TMI. But Mikey didn't even blink. Yeah, he said. I know what you mean. Alicia's snoring is practically a sleep aid for me now. He got up and walked to the doorway, hitting the switch that turned off the lamp. How did you know that was there? Patrick said suspiciously. Mikey smiled the creepy way smile that Patrick was used to seeing on Gerard. I just did, he said, and left the room before Patrick had the time to get up and kick him in the balls. Patrick slumped back against his pillows, feeling more than a little stunned. After a few minutes, he lay down completely, yanking the blankets over his head and texting Pete. I'm going to kill you, you know. Mikey's protective. It's a way thing. Did he tell you about Gerard's bone-melting project? See, you got off easy. Go to sleep. P.S. I love you. I love you too. The end. Reader's notes. Thank you to Impertinence for having blanket permission to record her fic. This was recorded for DePatty for her birthday because she is awesome and deserves all the pretty things. If you'd like to read this fic online, it can be found at impertinence.livejournal.com/304953.html. If you'd like to download this podfic, it can be found at paddockahubproductions.com. Thanks for listening.